this close to Super Bowl Sunday, and the playoffs continue this afternoon, late, it would seem appropriate to talk about being a fan. Now, it could be any sport. It could be baseball. It could be hockey. It could be, you know, football, basketball. It could be professional. It could be amateur. It could be college. It could be high school. When I lived in San Antonio, Texas, sports was serious stuff. And that was junior high. They take it so serious that families move so they can be in a particular school district that is currently winning, so their kid can play on a winning team and actually have play time. It is nuts. We would call that a fanatic, right? Okay? So, there are homes, and I haven't been in all of your homes, but there are homes that indicate by what is the decor, and it may just be in one room, it could be in every room, about what you're a fan of. Your house may have a theme of country decor. It may have a theme of, you know, Victorian furniture and that kind of thing. And so it tells me what you're a fan of. But it also it may have Minnesota Vikings or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or it may have no sports memorabilia whatsoever, and it tells me you don't like sports. Well, describe a sports fanatic. And when you think of it, they go to every home game. They travel to half of the away games, if not all of them. That's a sports fanatic. They wear the colors that if like you were a Pittsburgh Steeler, you'd have your towel so you could do the towel twirl, you know. A sports fanatic knows the players, knows the record of the players, knows the rookies and who's the veterans, who's the best players and who's struggling. In fact, they probably know the injured list. A sports fanatic would know the coach. They may not like the coach, but they know the coach, and they know the style of the coach. And if they watch that coach and that team long enough, they'll even say, I know what he's going to do next. A sports fanatic lives, eats, and breathes the game. And a sports fanatic will remain that even if they have a losing season. Because if you're not a real fan, then often when your team isn't winning, you don't care. You don't care about them. You've given them up. Sort of like Lent. You've given something up for the season. Now, think about it. How would that translate into our lifestyle and behavior as a Christian? Do you know how many services per year we have in this building? Outside of weddings and funerals, other than that, right? Do you know how many services there are? And how many of them do you make? I'll give you a moment, I'll let you think. Pastor Al and I are here for most of them, right? Yeah. I get 5 weeks vacation, so I'm not here 5 Sundays normally. Although one time on vacation we did come. Think about it. There's 52 Sundays a year. There's 6 weeks of Lent, 2 services Monday, Thursday, and Holy Week. Easter has 3 services, but only 2 are different on that morning. Sunrise, and then you either attend the 8 or the 10:45. You have Thanksgiving Eve. You have the three services of Advent. You have Christmas Day, the two Christmas Eve services. Can you think of any others? Did you remember Thanksgiving Eve? We have that one too. Do you understand? There's over 65 services per year. If you were to be described as a fanatic for Jesus, wouldn't you make those unless you were sick? You would know the church colors of the year. So in the season of green, you wear green. And when it's purple, you wear purple. And when it's blue, you wear blue. If blue's your color, maybe. You understand? The fanatic is tuned in to the pace and the life of the congregation, the life that follows Jesus' life, the life that serves him. Whether you're an officer or not, whether you're the church professional or not, whether you're a volunteer or not, you can be a fanatic for Jesus Christ. And the three lessons today describe how that's lived out. The first one is about Nineveh. It's a town of about 120,000, which was a big city. Tells you it took about 3 days to walk through it. And that's at an even pace. That's a big city. And the city was described as wicked. And they were warned, 40 days, and God is going to come and destroy you. The king and the leadership and the people of the community believed what Jonah said, and they repented. And if you're going to be a follower of God, a follower of Christ, repentance becomes a key. Because when we stop repenting, we stop following. The two go hand in hand. Because if we stop repenting, that means that we like what we do. And we like the way we do things. And we like the way we live. And if we're doing it that way, we're usually following the flesh and we're not following God. For all believers sin, right? Come on, right? Y'all are right. Yes! So repentance is a key. We justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But we are heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And we recognize that if we do not repent, we're saying our life is not in Christ. The second lesson sounds really extreme. If you're married, live as if you're not married. If you're working, live as if you're not working. Now, we might like that part, but do you understand? And if we take it out of context, it means we're bums. But when we put it into the context of what Paul is talking about, it's how God, in our life in Christ, is at the center of everything. Because God is at the core of who we are, what we are, and how we are. Our marriage is one in Christ. Our life is lived for Christ. We do everything to the glory of God. Whether we are the servant or the landowner, in the scriptures, it talks about how we faithfully serve and live because of God and unto God. And so having this Sunday Christian life and Monday through Saturday as my life is not biblically correct. You know, I gave God his time, now I get my time. That's not biblically correct. Did you know that in your house there is no such thing as a man cave that's apart from Christ? There's no such thing as a game room that doesn't have Christ. Christ is all in all. That's what the Bible tells us. I didn't make it up. He is to be everywhere and in it all and through it all. And so even in our working, whether I was on the back of a garbage truck collecting the trash in the community, working out at the recycle center, you know, whatever I do, I am to find a way to be faithful and give God the glory. In the third reading, the gospel reading for today, it talks about how Jesus said, "Follow me." Now, one of the things that we like to do as pastors is we like to point out that these men were the first pastors, the 12 disciples. And sometimes we elevate this section of scripture and we forget that God calls us all to follow him. Some as leadership, spiritual leadership of the flock, and others as servants in the flock. And when Jesus called these men to follow him, they left the nets and they left the fishing and they followed Christ, that Christ would be everything to them. And they learned what that meant. Whether you like football or not, baseball or not, it doesn't matter. But it does matter, what kind of fan of Christ are you? Because if your life is not in Christ, then Life Sunday means nothing. If your life is not in Christ, then abortion doesn't mean anything. Genocide around the world doesn't mean anything. Taking care of the elderly doesn't mean anything. Taking care of special needs children doesn't mean anything if your life is not in Christ, because you will find another way to define life. The media defines it for one product as cleaning your toilet. Do you remember that commercial? You know, it has a person in a house and the toilet bowl is sparkling, and because they had a product, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the product. They had the product, and I'll just call it sparkling. And then, you know, the punchline is, this is living. Now, if I think of my life and I compare it to a toilet bowl, I usually think I'm in a mess. I'm not thinking this is living, you know, that life stinks, you know. But you understand, for us to be alive in Christ means Christ is everything. And we follow him. It's because there's nobody else that leads us in the way of life, unto eternal life. And we know we don't get there by our works, and we know we don't earn it. We got all that theology down pat. But what happens is we are called to be faithful and true fans of Christ. On Christmas Eve, we don't have the yellow towels and the swirl. We bring candlelight. Jesus is the light of the world. On Palm Sunday, we walk in with the palms. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In all kinds of ways, we do the wave. You know, we have you stand up, sit down, stand, sit down to the service. You know, I just don't always have you put your hands up. That's another denomination. But you understand, Christ is your life. And it means something to wear a cross. It means something to wear a cross. I don't have it, but it means something. You know, for earrings. It means something. It means Christ is your life. And you, to the glory of God, follow him. Amen.